Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. Here we go. We got Justin in here. I don't know if Ray will participate or not, but he's in here.
His spirit's here.
He's in here in spirit and I feel like we have a hype man now.
Well, I'll tell you what I feel like. I feel intimidated by the hair on the other side of this table.
Ah, says the Shawn Michaels of the room.
Oh, yeah, dude. Golly.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking.
One eye is over here, one eye is over there. Okay, Pete Dunne interrupts Finn Balor, then Kyle O'Reilly interrupts, then Damian Priest interrupts, and they get to arguing. This is this is not what they usually do on the show early on, and it's a tired format of. I did enjoy the end, though, as Finn left them there.
It got me there right at the end.
Right. As Finn decides he's just going to leave them there to bicker, and then he said something to the effect of, you guys didn't let me finish. I'm the champ. It's Regal's job to figure out who I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
And that's when Scarlett comes out.
Well, the music hits, and Scarlett comes walking out.
And she walks around in a circle, and now Finn winds up leaving.
Well, he told her, you know, I already know what you're going to say. TikTok. You know,
right?
Tell your boy whenever he wants to, you know, wants the shot, come find me.
Right. Now, Priest winds up saying something to her, right?
Yeah, he calls it.
He calls it a smoke show.
Smoke show.
Which is the Impact Wrestling. That was her role. That was her first, when she first came out in Impact Wrestling, she was searching for a client, and she was the smoke show.
Oh, okay.
So that was a callback to her old role in Impact. And that winds up being...
Well, he said something like, do you leave your man in the car? Again, a variant off of your ball. You've got his balls in your purse.
Right, but at least he doesn't say that.
No, he didn't.
At least he allowed... I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You keep figure out a new way to say something.
Yeah, you keep your man in the car. Mm-hmm. You let him out.
Right. And Isaiah Swerve Scott wrestles now against Jake Atlas after we get the ring cleared, obviously. And... I thought this was fantastic, but short. Swerve was the dominator of the match until Atlas was able to get a nice little quick pin after he was put into a predicament. So we've seen Atlas now win in a way that wasn't his finisher.
Yeah.
And Swerve had been on break, comes back, and loses, and is shocked he loses.
He's very angry.
Doesn't go for the handshake. Probably going to get him in a heel format, which I think he'll be better.
Yeah, he could be a lot better.
Again, uber talented, so if he can cheat, it would be hard to defeat him.
Exactly.
He has a lot of charisma that I think can be released a little bit better.
As a heel? He's got the arrogance charisma.
Right. Allow him to show flair.
Yeah.
Because flair is charisma.
Yeah. Woo!
You ain't lying. Did you see that? Did you watch that thing I sent to the group text?
Yes.
Where Flair was...
Yes.
He was so good. Oh, my God.
Just right off the cuff, man.
And that's what somebody... I think the point of that whole tweet was when he was in Evolution, he was giving those kind of promos all the time, and we didn't even think twice about it because it's just who Ric Flair was. And it wasn't uncommon back then to see that high level of a promo.
Yes.
Even if it wasn't from him, because Hunter was right there too, and Hunter can lay it down too, you know.
Yeah.
And Batista was right there, and he would say things like, I'll kick your ass.
Yeah. I'm big, and I'm strong. Die, spaceship.
And Randy Orton was there, and at that point in time, he could say, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Grizzled Young Vets versus Imperium versus Ever-Rise. And I was frustrated with Ever-Rise being in this until it was over.
Yes.
Ever-Rise were the cowards. When they did get involved, Grizzled Young Vets and Imperium would beat them up and throw them away, or even double team where a member of Grizzled Young Vets and a member of Emporium would
Emporium?
Hurt.
Emporium?
Emporium.
Yes.
What a movie. Imperium would hurt the member of Ever-Rise, toss him out of the ring, and then get back to wrestling each other. Grizzled Young Vets, Imperium, are magical when they wrestle.
Oh, dude, they're
each
tough,
other.
Dude. They're tough.
And Ever-Rise has been on my TV set now. Getting squashed for months, and suddenly they have a personality.
Yeah, they're funny.
We wind up with a Ticket to Mayhem as the finish. They wind up going over, but I do think
Grizzled Young Vets go over.
Correct. Grizzly Jungle. I'm sorry, I forget that. Saying the finish doesn't necessarily mean you said the name.
Yes.
But two things. One, we needed a tag team division here.
Yeah.
And they brought two guys in to help us do that. Now with Phantasmo, with Fandango, now you got, okay, Ever-Rise kind of has a personality also.
Yeah.
Now you went five deep in pretty good teams, then you had Ever-Rise to the end of that.
And apparently, like, Undisputed Era is not really competing much as tag teams right now, so you don't have them. So you had to do something to kind of shore up your.
Well, and you know what? If you want to be a show about pro wrestling, stealing guys from NXT UK is a good idea.
Yeah, because they wish they would bring over the best guy.
Walter and Dragunov both.
Yes,
but if you take Walter and Dragunov off,
what do they got? Yeah, it's
hard because you brought Imperium, Grizzled Young Vets, and Tony Storm over.
Yeah,
that's. A lot of the top of their card.
Yeah.
You know, but to the advantage of this TV show.
Yes, right. Much.
Yeah. They have a good little War Games Revisited segment. And normally I wouldn't like going back because we just complained about on Raw.
Yeah.
But we had to point out Candice LeRae got hurt.
Yep.
She broke her arm.
Yep.
Dakota got hurt. Bobby Fish got his... tricep ripped off the tendon.
Oh my God. Did not know that one.
Yeah.
What happened to Dakota?
I don't know, but she said in the promo later that she was hurt.
Uh-huh.
And that she so now that's three that you're not going to see wrestling.
Bobby Fish cannot stay uninjured, can he?
Can't stay healthy.
Can't stay healthy.
But dude, that's the spot Shayna does all the time. Where they hold your arm up there and step on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but anyway, and then obviously, something's going on with Damian because later on, we see him get hurt.
Uh-huh.
And that looked like it makes sense that they wrote that into the script rather than because it wasn't a War Games match.
No, yeah.
But for some reason, he's going to be away for a second. So that's, dude, one pay-per-view, you lose four guys, you know, and good.
Yeah, but solid now, workers.
Losing Candice LeRae and Dakota, who does that help?
The rest of the heels in your division.
Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Huge for Gonzalez. Uh-huh. And Tony. Both. Yeah. But so, okay. So Tony Storm winds up nose to nose with EO, and EO says, "This is my problem. You're not my problem. But I just don't like you," and hits her. And they wind up fighting to the ring. Tony tries to escape as EO is going for the moonsault. Ember comes down, throws Tony back into the ring after hitting her a couple times, and then we do get the moonsault. Yep. So that leads us into what I'm guessing is a Tony Storm.
Ember Moon.
Well, I would think that's going to be a one-off, and then Tony goes into a program with EO.
Could be. Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think Tony will win, but I think that will... If Tony can have a great match, then she can have it with EO.
Yeah.
If Tony can have a great match, she can have it with Ember.
Yes.
And we'll get to that in a minute, because they bang it out at the end of this thing. Tommaso Ciampa promo... He picked Timothy Thatcher because he wants to prove he's still the guy. He wanted to know if he still had it. And now he wants to beat up Cameron Grimes because Cameron Grimes is a tool. Right? And so Thatcher winds up bringing a chair out and putting it down so he can watch this fight. And what did you think about the match between...
Grimes
and Thatcher have a match. What'd you think?
You mean Grimes and Ciampa.
I'm sorry, with Thatcher's ringside watching. Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. You can't... Cameron Grimes is great, dude.
He is great.
He's so good. And Tommaso Ciampa is so good.
Right. And so there winds up being a spot there where...
The guy comes out who's one of the...
Tyler Rust. Tyler Rust comes running out, and he doesn't wind up costing Ciampa the match, but he does wind up kind of sort of getting a distraction there. Now... Grimes somehow manages to walk into a Willow's Bell, and even though the distraction was supposed to hurt Ciampa, post-match, Grimes decides it was Thatcher's fault that he lost the match.
Yes.
And he gets into it with Thatcher, and Thatcher puts him from a standing position, winds up putting him into an ankle lock.
Yes.
How quick was that?
It was nasty.
Yes.
It was nasty.
It was great.
It wrenched his whole leg to do it. It looked vicious.
It did. It did. It was so good. Oh, man. And so then we get a filmed segment. They have whoever the elder is that has abducted both Boa and Zia Lee has allowed them to film.
Yes.
At the place where he's abusing them.
Yeah.
And we get punching wood by Zia Lee till her arms bleed on the, what do you call that?
It's a Mook Jong is what it's called. It's a Wing Chun wooden practice dummy for Wing Chun Kung Fu. You see it, if you want to go to your movie selection, one of the cool scenes is from Rumble in the Bronx. Jackie Chan, there's a scene with him where he goes crazy on one. If you've ever played on one of those in real life, it hurts a lot.
Because it's just wood.
It's solid wood. And when you do it with real force, it's designed to help you condition your arms for trapping, which is that stuff you do with your hands in Wing Chun, where you're deflecting arms. You see Bruce Lee use it in some of his movies. Jackie Chan does it all the times where you tie the other guy's arm in knots and stuff.
The Last Dragon. Bruce Leroy utilizes one.
Yes. Yeah, he uses the glow. Yeah. But, yeah, that it's a cool training. But, yeah, she's that looked brutal. That looked nasty.
Well, whenever you see it, I mean, when you see people, like, use it even in the movies or if you just happen to YouTube around and find one, the clang that your arms makes when it hits that wood.
Yeah.
And they have to, like you said, like there's a round trunk of a body. Yeah. And then you have a spot where the arms are in different directions and the legs are in different directions.
Yeah, there's three that come off, and then there's a leg that comes off too, which you, so you kick that too. You kick the wooden leg part with your shins.
So you're getting your forearms and your shins used to the contact.
Yep, feet too. Yeah.
And she's having to do this to the point in which she is bleeding, and that looks sort of brutal. But on the other side, there's Boa getting hit with either a kendo stick or just a straight bamboo stick, fake sword that they would use to practice. And his skin is ruffling.
Yes.
The doggone stick is going into his body.
Yes.
It is.
That was brutal looking.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So anyway.
They're going to come back and murder people.
Yes. 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 And but we
this
did not.
This is a heck of a training montage.
We didn't see the, what I thought was a female face.
We saw the eyes and we saw.
Again.
One finger raise or something.
Right, 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 right. Okay, okay. Now, LeRae is in a ring with Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, and Minions, Austin Theory, and Indy Hartwell. LeRae wants, Johnny talks about how great they are, and then, of course.
No look high fives.
No look high fives. That's what a team can do.
Yes.
That's what a team. Johnny is such a geek.
Yeah, he is.
In the best way possible.
All the time.
And LeRae plays a little bit of a straight man, but is somewhat of that anyway as well. I thought this was well done. He gives her a trophy with a Shotzi doll on top, but not a real Shotzi doll, like just a spray painted green hair on something.
Yeah, like a troll or something.
Gargano harps on the scars that he has from his battle. He's got one little spot on his lip, whereas his wife has a broken wrist.
Yes.
Where she held a chair on purpose for somebody to jump on it.
Oh, God, that was such a nasty spot.
Can you imagine you came up with that spot, and you said, I'm going to do this right here. And somebody probably said, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
She said, I got it. Yeah. Well, when I jump on you, though, it could, you know, no, I got it.
That's a lot of force on your wrist.
And then you waved at her, it's okay to jump down here.
Uh-huh.
And then you broke your wrist.
Yep.
Because you can't blame her.
No. You signed up for this one.
Yeah. And it was your bright idea.
Yeah.
And you know what was... In that match, when that happened, I didn't get it because the spot is always the Rob Van Dam. I'm willing to take this pain to hurt you.
Yeah.
And then he flops around. And then I always wondered how on earth that works to Rob's favor.
Yes.
And in the spot, once the announcer, Bennett, starts telling me that Stu Bennett. Is he going by Stu Bennett on this?
Wade Barrett.
He's going by Wade Barrett on this. Once he explained, she took the bullet.
Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? That's the first time this spot's ever made sense in all the times I've seen it. But then she broke her arm, which makes it not make sense again.
Not at all. Not at all.
How about rolling out of the way?
Oh, yeah. That'd been better. Leave the chair there and you not be there.
Yeah. That'd be... That's high level.
That's next level.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, but Johnny did get a fat lip, almost. It's swollen somewhere.
It's very swollen.
Yeah, right. Ouch. Dury will... Oh, Gargano says he challenges Priest and Leon Ruff to a match. Gargano and Theory are going to fight them. Supposedly, Priest comes out and he's going to say something, and then Karrion Kross managed to get out of the car and put it on him.
Boy, did he put it on him, dude.
And so we got Karrion Kross back.
Yeah, that was my hype for the whole night, dude. I was marking out.
Right. I'll tell you something else that hyped me up, too.
Drop Priest like a bad habit.
Yeah. No, we do get Pete Dunne versus Killian Dane next.
Oh, that was vicious, dude.
Michael Bivens did give Tyler Rust
a card.
Yeah, so we're getting there on that, too. But this was good, man. Fight backstage that gets to a match. My only issue with this match, and I showed Ray this yesterday, is when the finish of it, where Pete Dunne puts him in the bitter end, I really didn't know who the move was on. Because
it looked like it's on Pete Dunne.
Because the dude is so big.
Yes.
It couldn't. He needs it. Oh, okay. You know what we were talking about earlier?
Told you. He needs a big man. He needs a different finisher for.
Yeah, because that dude just engulfs him.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. And it's just a spinning back hair and shoulders and ugliness that lands on him and all. Not that the Beast of Belfast is not a
beautiful,
attractive
man.
He is a very attractive man. But
this is what perfect male form looks like. You may not like it.
Well, you're not used to it.
You're not used to it.
Because in the last couple of centuries,
thousands of years,
we've tried to make it seem like being covered in hair from head to toe is not what a man should look like. But when we walked out of the cave,
that dude was living the dream.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go kill a bear. He came with the fur.
Yes. Yes.
The ladies loved him.
Absolutely.
Top of the food chain.
Right. As soon as they were managed to evolve and stand.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. So, I really did love this match, though. But you know what? You know, we're talking about how there's a thing about Pete Dunne where he's uber... Both these guys, everything looks so real.
Yes.
But we were talking about how pro wrestling, a kick to the head really would knock you out.
Yeah.
By the same token, if Pete Dunne grabbed my pinky and yanked it in the wrong direction.
Yes.
My finger would go in the wrong direction when he was done yanking it.
Yeah. Or he jumped up in the air like 3 feet and stomped your hands.
Yeah. So realistically.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
No. If Killian Dane headbutts you.
Correct.
You're going to a hospital.
Have you ever seen the x-rays of a caveman's cranium?
Yeah. He's got way more skull than most people.
Brain. Most people.
Yes. Yes. Well, had a little bit of a run-in by Lurch.
Well, first, they came down, and then Drake attacked with a chair.
And made the save.
And he...
Boneheadedly.
He thought that he had done enough with one chair shot apiece. And I guess he's never seen either one of these guys wrestle.
Yeah.
Because that didn't do the job.
No.
Of course, Killian has to go down and try to make the save there, and then he walks into...
Bitter end.
The kick in the bitter end. Okay. I did enjoy that very
much.
Oh,
it was a great match. I think it protected them both.
And we get it again.
Yes.
And I don't mind the concept of Dunn going for a U.S. title or a world title.
No. I just think he needs a different outfit.
He thinks he needs a different outfit, too.
Why does he need a different outfit?
Because that outfit looked fine when he was a little bit pudgy, but now he looks ridiculous.
He's built like a fridge. I don't...
And he's wearing an old-style 1920s bathing suit.
I see how Pete Dunne wears it in the same way I see like how Kurt Angle wore it.
Kurt Angle's different. He's ripped differently. He's built differently. He looks funny to me with that little... unitard on. He looks so cool in every other aspect. Like, he's got cool clothes on when he comes out there, usually. He's always cool until he puts his unitard on. It looks.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this. But I agree with him and disagree with you. But it's okay.
See how
reasonable people can disagree on what's fashionable.
I think it's completely okay that you have a different opinion than me, and you may be right. But for me, it looks ridiculous. It looked fine when he had a little bit of a gut. You know, when he was not perfectly in shape.
It fit the mold of being a...
But dude, he's ripped now. He's taking...
Jesus, he looks good.
Yeah, he don't need to be wearing anything to cover that up, dude. You need to be showing that
up. Got a six-pack. Let's see it. He needs like a fishnet half shirt.
Yes, that's what I was...
What if you did what Kurt Angle did and let the straps down every once in a while?
I hate letting the straps...
A fishnet half skirt.
Why not just use the long short, like the long fighter pants like that Ortiz used to wear? You know, like they're almost boxer brief length. I just don't like the man panties on them. I think that looks...
What about a fishnet half shirt and some body glove shorts?
Well, obviously. Jeff, what?
Body glove. Like Living Color.
Yes, why not do that?
Or if he would go with the body glove onesie like Living Color did.
Yes, why not do that too?
Go all the way.
Yeah, that's all the way.
This podcast about like NXT.
Raquel Gonzalez and Ember Moon are next. And this is the wrestling portion of your podcast.
Not the fashion portion.
Right. Raquel, big times for her. Big times old Ember Early. Everything Ember Moon does looks stiff.
Doesn't
right?
It?
And Raquel is so big and so strong.
She's a superstar.
This was amazing.
Yeah. And, this was a great match.
Let's see. Suplex, cartwheel, clothesline. Let me say this. I complained last week about Dana Brooke's cartwheel clothesline because it looks like a cheerleader move into a stinger splash.
Yes.
Which is, and I said stinger splash for a reason because that never looked, Seth doesn't look great either.
No.
When he jumps and does the forearm because he doesn't throw the forearm.
No.
When she does a cartwheel into whatever that splash does for him to the head, she's creating momentum.
Yeah, she's using it to create speed.
Right. It's not I'm showing you I can do a cartwheel. No. It's I'm creating speed.
I'm using centrifugal force to create, you know, momentum.
Violent impact.
Into a shot.
Right. And I thought, dude, everything she does. Now,
it's like the difference when people do, like, Kofi throws the Trouble in Paradise kick. And he throws it really pretty, but you can tell he's not throwing it. He's throwing it to show you it. He's not throwing it to knock your head clean off.
He's a leaper.
Yeah.
Montez is a leaper.
Yeah.
Shinsuke kicks.
Yeah. He snaps that kick out there. Comes over the, you know, when it rotates
Asuka
over.
Asuka kicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get exactly what you're saying on that. And there's nothing wrong with either one of them.
No. And there's...
It's just some things look more violent than others.
Yes.
And it's cool
and
when
Ember
they do.
Ember's
kicks are like that.
Now they are very stiff.
Right. Nothing she does. It's almost like she knows this is the company where I can...
Yeah.
I can... Everybody here is willing to be hit and hit.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to be hit and hit, so that's cool. It's like when you see somebody get into a program with Brock, you know they're fixing to have to fight.
Yeah.
There'll be times in the match where they're not really fighting.
But there's some dominance.
But even they will get confused as to what's going on periodically over the course of this match.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because, oh, wow, does he not like me?
Yeah, or like, is he just, yeah.
That's just how he works, you know? And so, okay, anyway. Eventually, Moon goes for the Eclipse, and
Raquel snatches her out of midair.
Nothing to it. Power bomb, right? Moon wants to climb the scaffold thing to jump onto her.
Yeah,
and she grabbed her off of that and like
lawn-darted her into the pole.
Oh my god! Yeah. So I thought this was great. Now, when she does grab her on the Eclipse, and then does the one arm power bomb to her and finishes her off. I thought all of it was wonderful, and I see
Tony Storm comes out for.
And again, I think we got the precursor to two one-offs.
Yes.
That will wind up putting. We're going to get Tony Storm in a one-off with Ember to fight Ia.
Okay, I got you. I see that.
And then we're going to get, because when Tony comes out to get on Ember, Rhea comes out.
Yeah.
We're going to get a rematch of the setup between Rio and Rocky before, because I'm going to call her Rocky, because she might as well be Rocky, right?
Yes.
Raquel Gonzalez. They're nose to nose. Now, they're going to have two, right?
Yeah.
Because Gonzalez has got to beat her to be even. And then they'll fight again.
Yes.
And she'll beat her again. And then she'll be the next opponent for Io.
I like that one. Right? That's good booking.
And I could see where Gonzalez is the one who dethrones her.
I can too. But Gonzalez is another one I don't see a limiter on her ceiling if you play her right.
How crazy is this? Okay. She may be the MVP of the pandemic. She went from nothing.
Yeah.
She was nothing, and now she's can't miss TV.
Yeah.
I mean, EO might be the MVP of the pandemic thing, but...
Yeah. There's an argument for...
Well, okay. I got excited.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt is the MVP.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people who've really stepped their game up.
Yeah.
Depending on Roman. The show. Oh, my God. Come on.
Now, if you're talking about this company, now, if you want to talk about the other one, there's...
Oh, there's plenty over there, too.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, adjusted to this format and adjusted to the changes really well.
Well, and you know, there's one guy that's like running around three different shows right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, Omega's doing big things right this second. Yeah. And Mox was my wrestler of the year, probably going into whatever happens in the next week.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, but dude, what a wonderful
show. Oh, I loved this show. Time, NXT right? was great, right? dude. I got Karrion Kross back. Come on, now.
You got Karrion Kross back. Gonzalez has just, we got a banger out of that. Pete Dunne.
Yes. I'm excited about the Zia Lee Bal thing a little bit. I think that's going to be cool when they come back.
Dude, we here. When you do something right, okay, Ever-Rise, you managed in 2.5 to 5 minutes give somebody personality somehow they didn't have.
Yeah.
Just by putting them in a triple threat match with people that could go.
Yeah.
And allowing them to be cowards.
Yeah.
Because we proved they couldn't win on their own.
Yes.
Right? Zia Lee and Boa. Zia Lee was really cool. She did the little fan thing. All that was cool.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you've injected venom into their characters. Because they're going to have venom when they come out of this turmoil that they've been placed in. Rocky Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You rebuilt the character. Just like that. Boom.
Boom.
What a great day.
Yeah.
Oh, and real quickly, Keith Lee is supposed to be going back.
I hope so.
If he goes back, this show's crazy.
Yeah.
Because he owes... Let's say we wait on Keith Lee. Cross thinks he's going to get Finn next.
Yeah.
Cross goes over whoever's he fights here for the next week. Maybe Damian Priest comes back in 2 weeks, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Cross thinks he's done and he starts to move toward Balor, Keith Lee steps between them.
Yeah.
And we get that program and allow Finn to give us a great match with a Pete Dunne or one of these other guys that can give him a rematch with O'Reilly. There's so much you can do if you bring Keith Lee back in there. And when it's all said and done, you put all this talent in the ring with Cameron Grimes.
Oh, my God.
And then you just have Cameron Grimes go over.
To the moon.
Right. You know what that would be the equivalent of?
What?
Who beat Stone Cold Steve Austin in The Rock in one night?
Chris Jericho.
Same thing.
It's same thing.
And on that note, I will bid you adieu. Oh. Woo.
What?
That was close. That'd be the wrong show now, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I will say good night and good luck.
Good night and good luck.
Go Home Heat, copyright 2020.